Good morning. Welcome to the Vines this morning on another chilly winter's morning, but I have it on good authority that spring is on its way. Born on the 16th of July, 1194, and she died on the 11th of August, 1253, aged 59. Her name was Claire, and she came from the little Italian town of Assisi and a follower of St. Francis. She wrote, tomorrow, by the way, is Claire's feast day, which I thought is why I'm introducing her this morning, just in a very small way. Claire wrote four letters to St. Agnes of Prague, who was also a Franciscan. And in the fourth letter, she encourages Agnes to cry out to Jesus in this way. This is a quote from the letter to Jesus. "Draw me after you. We will run in the fragrance of your perfumes, O heavenly spouse. I will run and not tire until you bring me into the wine cellar, until your left hand is under my head and your right hand will embrace me happily, and you will kiss me with the happiest kiss of your mouth." Imagine yourself being kissed by Jesus. It's the language of lovers, and we have a relationship with Jesus that is one of love and love and love. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the gift of your love for us, the gift of life that we have, the gift of life with you present to us, in us, always. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for this morning and for the opportunity again to meet together and pray that you would invigorate us as we gather. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Star of the morning, glorious in holiness. You're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign, you reign. Glory never fades, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness.
You're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign,
you reign, beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign, you reign over all.
Lord, we do praise you and thank you for your beauty, for your life in us. All our days, and may all our days ahead continue to be days in which we will live with gladness and with hope, with praise. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard our cries. We praise you and we bless you. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior,
Lord, there is none like you.
All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar. Sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever.
Majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name.
I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand.
Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. Okay. You've either got a hard copy of The Grapevine or received it in your inbox, in your email. I'll just highlight a couple of things on there. Circle of Friends is this coming Tuesday, and that's for any women who want to come along for a cup of tea and a chat or a cup of coffee, and it's from 1:30 till 3 p.m. here at the church. And then Wednesday the 20th of August is the men's dinner group. And if you want to have a chat to someone about that, I think Neville's here this morning, sitting down there. So have a chat with Neville if you want to inquire about that. And I do want to highlight that it's not happening until September, that the 7th of September, there'll be a celebration of the one-year anniversary of the pantry. Can you believe that? It's been going for a year. So we actually will celebrate that in some way on the 7th, on the Sunday the 7th of September. Okay. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord right now and just invite you to stay seated, but I might get you to stand up. Let me get towards the end of the song. 1, 2, 3. All to Jesus.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him.
Lord, they're so easy words to sing, but always a challenge to live out. And yet, Lord, we do just that. We offer ourselves to you this morning again and afresh for today and the week ahead. May we know your presence, Lord, in our lives day by day. And Lord, we bring to you the offerings that Richard is holding this morning and pray that you would use them as we seek to serve you in this place. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Take your seats.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. I would like today to start off with a verse from the Bible when Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation." As we heard from Marge last Sunday, every single one of us, without exception, has received a grace-given gift from God. Such gifts are given to equip those who choose to follow Jesus for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and God's grace might be made known. As your followers, Lord, we remember and respect your many disciples who have taken up this gift and have dedicated their lives to nurturing others in your name. Unfortunately, names fade in the history of our church, but it is important not to forget that there is and ever has been your loving light in our world, which brings about change in people's lives. Today, I would like us all to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to you for guiding three little girls and one little boy on their path to grow into strong women and men and to find and fulfill your purpose in a way that not only changed their lives, but the lives of those with whom he came into contact. Let us pray. Jesus left us with many guidelines on which to conduct our lives. There are four of these I would like to highlight this morning with thanksgiving. The first from Matthew, verse 14, chapter 19. "Suffer little children, and forbid them not, to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." When I read this, I think of a young Adelaide girl who grew up to do great things for the Lord. Her name, you would know, is Geraldine Cox, the key person in the Sunrise Orphanage in Cambodia. She was posted to Cambodia by the Foreign Office just as the Vietnam War was ending. She saw the exploitation of the children in Phnom Penh after the war. She said, quote, "It wasn't until I saw the plight of the children, it was like a bullet to my head." She immediately gave up her career, and taking over a disused child center, she channeled the love of children through Jesus. She nurtured them, loved them, protected them, and educated them. She became, as she said, their mom. And that orphanage continues today. There's a fundraising going on this month for that orphanage. So if you'd like to look it up and contribute it, that would be great. The second instruction to us was, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." This comes from the book of Romans. When I read this, I think of Catherine Hamlin, the surgeon, born in Sydney. She took up your challenge of going to a land far from her home to continue your work. She established traveling clinics into the country areas. What she saw changed her life. With no medical care, women had been giving birth in very poor and appalling conditions, resulting in damage to their bodies that stayed with them all their lives, as neither they nor their families knew how to treat them physically or spiritually. She did, and began bringing them to Addis Ababa for healing. In 1974, she established her women's hospital and training college for doctors in the city and worked there for 50 years, giving the first help to women whose bodies were injured and spreading the warmth of the Holy Spirit in our foreign land. To date, the hospital has treated over 35,000 women and trained surgeons from all over the world. She went home to you on the 18th of March in 2020, but her work continues. May she be blessed. The third one is from Galatians. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. A little girl in Chicago grew up to be a nun in the Sisters of Mercy and was assigned to a maternity hospital to care for mothers and babies. Her name was Sister Rosemary Connolly. When the hospital closed, she stayed and established the residential Misericordia Heart of Mercy Home in 1952. She nurtured her team in the love of Jesus, and they in turn nurtured young people with mild to profound mental and physical developmental disabilities. There are currently 600 children being loved and educated and nurtured. They are all God's children, and their families want the best for them, but are unable to provide them at their home. She quoted from one of her parents that she saw our kids as people, not disabilities. She passed last month at the age of 94, and again has gone home to you to rest her soul. The Lord loves righteousness. The earth is full of his unfailing love. None of these women could have made such a difference without your love and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. As we remember them, let us recall your instruction to us in Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. These two last verses bring up a remembrance of a young boy who grew up on a farm with his seven siblings in Flanders, in Belgium. He became a priest and was sent to Hawaii to be a presence in the church. Many of the native Hawaiian parishioners had high mortality rates due to infectious diseases brought by visitors. Thousands of Hawaiians died of such diseases to which they had not acquired any immunity. In 1873, when leprosy broke out in the islands, people were sent away from their villages to isolated quarantine camps for fear of an epidemic. Father Damien ministered to a leper colony in Molokai until his death from the disease itself in 1889. He also cared for leprosy patients, ensuring they were treated with dignity and compassion. He helped to build accommodation, hospitals, and churches. He dressed their ulcers. He lived and he ate with them. He made their coffins. He dug their graves and provided spiritual, medical, and emotional support. These three women and this one man are only three or four of the thousands of people who are working to make this world a better place, a light shining in our not-so-gentle world. We live with evil around us, but should never forget that there is goodness and God's mercy surrounding us. I know that Jesus is smiling now at their memories. May they rest in his arms and they live their faith. They've gone home to you. In Matthew, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In offering these prayers of thanksgiving, we now remember the prayer that Jesus taught us a long time ago. Please join with me in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon us here today and in our daily lives. Amen.
Thank you for your beautiful prayers, Irene. It's beautiful. Our reading this morning, our first reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. For this reason, I remind you to keep alive the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Do not be ashamed, then, of witnessing for our Lord, neither be ashamed of me, a prisoner for Christ's sake. Instead, take your part in suffering for the good news, as God gives you the strength for it. He saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But now it has been revealed to us through the coming of our Saviour, Christ Jesus. He has ended the power of death and through the gospel has revealed immortal life. And the second reading is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another just as I love you. The greatest command you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you and to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you, love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Stay seated while we sing. What gift of praise is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need
his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. All the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Though faint I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Through Christ in me. Through Christ in me.
So, good morning again. You're all a bit closer now. Keeping alive the gift that God has given us. That's the theme of today's reflection. I pose the following questions in the grapevine and have to say at the outset, I can't answer them for any of you. Except for myself. How did you get here to the vines? What brought you here? How have you given of yourself here? What have you done that has ignited your passion? What has captured your attention? What has stirred in your soul? And though I can't answer them for you, I kind of hope this reflection will empower us as we move forward in our life and ministry at the Vines. Our two readings that Wendy read for us speak to me in the following way. We each have a gift or gifts given by God. Who's got a gift? You should all have your hands up. We are meant to keep our gifts alive. Keep alive the gift that God gave you.
Keep alive.
We've been saved.
Yes.
We've been saved and called not because of anything we have done. You haven't done anything to save yourselves, nor have I, but because of God's purposes and grace that were given to us before the beginning of time. I find that staggering, that verse. What we have today was given to us before time began. Can you figure that out? I can't, but I do trust it and I do believe it. And we did not choose Jesus, though perhaps we might think that we did. And I know some people will say, yeah, there was a time when I responded to Jesus, but the only reason we were able to respond to Jesus was because he was tapping us on the shoulder and saying, hey, I need you. And Jesus chose us to bear enduring, lasting fruit, such that the Father will give us whatever we ask. And I don't think that means, Lord, help me find a parking space when you're driving around the city of Adelaide. Although I've done it. and it worked. For me, the implication of Jesus saying that the Father will give us whatever we ask isn't necessarily a recipe for getting whatever we want. But I do believe that, in part at least, perhaps a big part, certain prayers are answered, particularly when we seek God's direction for our journey. For example, something like, please show us, Lord, what you are wanting us to do at this time, collectively. And sometimes, in my experience, the answer comes not in the immediacy of the prayer, but it unfolds over time, perhaps years, perhaps decades, maybe a lifetime. In the pathways of life, we're sometimes encouraged to pursue those things that we are passionate about. You might be familiar with the following phrases. Whatever ignites your passion, whatever stirs your soul, whatever sparks your interest, whatever lights your fire, whatever captures your attention, whatever excites you, whatever floats your boat, and my favourite, whatever blows your hair back. Well, it's not really my favourite. I'm going to share a little bit about myself this morning, because it's all to do with keeping the gift of God alive and that we've been chosen by God. So I'm hoping you'll bear with me for a little bit. With the amazing gift of hindsight, who's got the gift of hindsight? Yep. I think God planted something in me that has been ingrained in me for all time. You know, that's the aspect of, the Lord having what Paul wrote to Peter, and I've lost it. It's in there somewhere. Given it to us for all time, since the beginning of time. And there's something in me I think that applies to, though I have not always been aware that it is so. I think God does things in us at times that we don't always notice. So too, all of you. There's a part of each of us that is from God and that has always been so. It would be reasonable to say for me that from a young age I have wanted to serve God. That desire began to well up in me during my boyhood and teen years with the thought that I might one day become a priest. Life moved on. I left school, started work, got married, had two beautiful daughters, got divorced, and the wheels fell off and life fell apart. However, during 1977, I had a serious encounter with God which rekindled some things in me, including my desire and my interest in serving God. I met Chris, And we were married in 1978. Take a few years leap into 1982. Responding to what I thought was a call from God, I applied to the Anglican Church to be accepted to train for ministry. Chris and I went to a selection conference, spending a weekend at Retreat House in Belair, being interviewed over the course of the weekend by various senior clergy. Just a little bit intimidating. It was a mixture of excitement and nervousness and prayer, and we headed home not really having any sense of what the outcome might be. We knew we would have to wait for the decision. I think I was checking the letterbox every day. Finally, the letter arrived, you know, it had the diocesan seal on the envelope, so I knew what it was. And I opened it with nervous and hopeful expectation that was immediately undone when I read that I had not been accepted. I was disappointed. And at the time I said to God something like, I thought this was what you wanted me to do, and I really did. Now I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do, God? And having asked the question of God, I didn't get any indication of a definitive answer. But the answer began to unfold that same year and has, in part, continued ever since 1982, the year the diocese said no to me, was the year that I started writing gospel songs. And I began to serve God using a creative gift that until that point in time, I didn't even know I had. I didn't know I could write songs. Who'd have thought? The desire to serve God at a deeper level persisted. And in 1986, Chris and I applied and were accepted to become missionaries with the Australian Board of Missions, the Anglican Mission Organisation. Over the following 12 months, we wrestled with where we should go and considered a variety of placings, Northern Australia, PNG, Southeast Asia, Africa. We endeavoured to be prayerfully discerning, but nothing seemed to be quite right, except the placement in Africa, to which we said yes, but a little while later it fell through. So we put the process on hold for 12 months, simply to step back, pray some more, seek God, and in essence, wait. In June of 1988, feeling a sense of call happening again, we went back to ABM, indicating that we were keen to explore any possibilities that were available. There were none. Sorry, the cupboard's empty. Chris and I were encouraged by the ABM director at the time to pray the following prayer. Lord, we ask that you reveal to us your will for our lives, and we also ask that you give us the strength to carry it out. Interestingly, that prayer I have discovered since is in one of the prayer books, and for any of you who might be familiar with the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, it is the essence of the 11th step, looking to God to reveal God's will for life and then the strength to do it. To cut a long story short, the answer to the first part of that prayer, reveal to us your will, came to fruition on Australia Day 1989 when we left Australia and headed to the African nation of Zambia, where we spent 4 years at St. Francis Hospital in a little place called Katete with a population of just over 1 million people. A joint Anglican-Catholic 360-bed hospital, and I worked there for those 4 years as the accounts secretary. The second part of the prayer, give us the strength, was answered again and again across the entire time we were there, with all the challenges that came with living in a developing country. Since returning from Zambia in early 1993, my desire to serve God had not changed. And from that time until I retired in April of 2016, I had the privilege of working and serving God in 3 Christian schools, one of them twice, and a private Christian higher education institution. Across the years, I've prayed in similar ways as I've looked to God in my desire to serve. The most recent occasion that I prayed in that way was a little after retiring. In essence, I said to the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me do for this remaining season of my life?" And yes, I'm retired, according to the tax office and Centrelink, but I see it more than just being retired. I am in the final season of my life, however long that season is going to be. Having prayed that prayer, it seemed to be answered in part when I was accepted into Tabor's spiritual direction course, commencing in 2017, and I completed it in 2019. In the final year of the course, I was writing a final paper, and I came to the realization that our Lord had been journeying with me for my entire life, not just the different chunks where I'd been doing this here and so on, for my entire life. Not that I'd always noticed. And that the way the prayer was answered has been, not across the 3 years of study and practice, but of my entire life and the many experiences I've had, the lessons I've learned along the way, including the painful and including my failures. And I've made some clangers. But God's grace is bigger than my clangers. That journey through the spiritual direction course has affirmed for me that ministry for and to God is born out of who I am, where I've been, the influences of others, and so on, which collectively have reinforced my desire to serve God, which includes doing what I do here with my musical gift. Though serving God musically at the Vines didn't begin when Bill first asked me if I'd like to lead worship. It began when an 11-year-old boy fell off a slippery dip and broke his arm. And after the arm came out of plaster, Mum saying to me, "Why don't you take up playing the guitar to strengthen your arm back up?" That's when it really began. As a Christian community here at the Vines, we've arrived at an interesting and challenging place. We've been there for a while, really, since David got sick. We don't have a minister, and we're not alone. There are other congregations in the exact same place. So how are we to serve God as we move forward? Jesus reminds us that we've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. That was the gospel reading. We're meant to bear fruit. Paul reminded us to keep the gift that God has given each of us. And all of the gifts, and we all have gifts, and some have more than one. I bet probably all of us have got more than one gift if we stopped and thought about it. Last week, Marge reminded us of Malcolm's challenge, and I hope I don't misquote you, Marge, that, quote, "Maybe we don't really need a minister because each of us are ministers. Because each one of us are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be who we are for us, who we are for the church, and most of all, who we are for God." Did I get it right? Who we are for us, who we are for the church, and who we are for God. And Marge invited us to reflect on the gift of God to us in Jesus and ask God, "What can I do for you?" My encouragement to us this morning is to take the prayer Chris and I used back in 1988 and pray it for ourselves individually and for the Vines collectively. I've actually taken the prayer and reworded it for us here at the Vines. And I've also put together a little bookmark with the prayer I'm about to put up on the screen. It's at the bottom, a little bookmark. There's about 20 or so of these on the table if you would like to take one home. It also has the scripture on it from 2 Timothy, "Keep alive the gift that God gave you," and the verse from John's gospel, "I did not choose you." I did. You did not, let me get the right way around. You did not choose me, whoops, but I choose you. So here's the prayer. Lord, we ask that you reveal to us your will for our lives and for the life and ministry of Vine's congregation. And we also ask that you give us the strength to carry it out. For the first part of the prayer, reveal to us your will, we may not receive an immediate answer, but it's my encouragement to us that we will receive an answer as the future unfolds. And things are happening. Biggest example, perhaps, is the pantry. Who knows where God is going to take us? But if we say, God, what do you want us to do? Yep, it'll happen. And it's possible that the answer may be linked to some of those earlier phrases that I quoted. Whatever ignites your passion, whatever stirs your soul, whatever sparks your interest, whatever lights your fire, whatever captures your attention, whatever excites you. And whatever it is, it's likely that it will be different for each of us, but collectively, it will be what will keep us moving forward and doing what God has called each of us here to do. Now, I'm a realist as well, and this isn't something that's airy-fairy for me at all. It's a lifetime's journey. But I know that the day is going to come when my hands will stop working and my voice might stop working as well. And I'm going to have to put my guitar down, which will be a sad day. It'll be a sad day when it happens. But whatever stage we are at in life's journey, in the final season, some of us are in the final season of our lives. And again, who knows how long that season is? You know, Ben's got years to go yet, decades, mate. God is at work. The second part of the prayer, the strength to carry it out, that too will come as and when it is needed. Lord, you know the prayer sometimes you hear, Lord, give me strength, give me patience right now. And it doesn't always work that either, but work that way. But God does take us along in a lifetime's journey that began, in essence, and I don't understand it, but I, as I said before, I do believe it, in what Jesus said, what Paul said to Timothy. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So what I'd like to do just now, just for a couple of minutes, that we spend a couple of minutes in silence, and you can read your way through that prayer. If you feel inclined to pray it, just pray it silently in the quiet of your heart. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. I would never force anybody to do that. That would be foolish. But if you want to take it home to think about, grab a bookmark from the table where the sugar and milk are at the moment. So let's just be still for a moment. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you have called each one of us to this place we call the Vines. You are the vine, Lord, and we are the branches. We praise you and thank you that your life flows through us, flows through our veins and our lives, through all that we do, at home, in the community, here in the building. Thank you, Lord, that your hand has been on our lives for all time. And though, Lord, there are times when we fail, we praise you and thank you for your forgiveness that is complete. Though there are times when our faith sags at the knees a little bit, there are times when you lift us up and renew our faith. And though there are times when we feel a lack of energy or a lack of desire or lacking in anything, that again you lift us up and reinvigorate us and enliven us. And so we look to you, Lord, again this morning and say, dear Lord, please continue to guide us on the journey ahead that is in some ways is filled with uncertainty, but the certainty that we do have, Lord, is you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. I'd invite you to stand if you're able to and sing what for me is simply just a wonderful expression of love to God. Just let me say.
Just let me say how much I love you. Let me speak of your mercy and grace. Let me live in the shadow of your beauty. Let me see you face to face. And the earth will shake as your word goes forth. And the heavens can tremble and fall. Just let me say how much I love you, O my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just let me hear your finest whispers as you gently call my name. Let me see your power and your glory. Let me feel your Spirit's flame. Let me find you in the desert till this sand is holy ground. And I am found completely surrendered to I love you. With all my heart, I love you.
my Lord and friend.
So today and every day in the week ahead, may we all move forward in the depth of the grace of God, the forgiveness that we've found, the knowledge of what it is to be called a child of God, and to know how much we are truly loved. Amen. Have a great week. And the depth.
And the depth of grace, the forgiveness found, to be called a child of God, just makes me say how much I love you. Oh, my Savior, my Lord and friend, just makes me say how much I love you.